welcome to the Hometown Real Estate Heroes Podcast. My name is Mitch Steven, and I am the founder, the sponsor, and sometimes even the host of this podcast. And this podcast is designed specifically to help you achieve your financial freedom, no matter where you have to go to find that independence. Our mission is to help you fire your boss and quit your job so that you can free up 2,600 hours a year to find out who you're supposed to be and to become the person you are supposed to become on this planet. So I invite you to subscribe, like, and share so that you can watch others that are on their way or have already accomplished this financial independence and are well on their way to becoming the person they are supposed to be. If you know of a guest that should be on this podcast, please go to 1000houses.com. That's 1000houses.com/podcast2. That's the number 2, /apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Hometown Heroes Podcast. Today we have Muhammad Sadiq. He is the co-author of New Success Secrets, the book New Success Secrets, and he is the host of the Growth Hacking Show. Not only that, but Muhammad Sadiq is an author, a real estate investor. He's a global social media authority, a mass publicity influencer, and he's an entrepreneurial philanthropist. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Sadiq. How are you doing?
Excellent. How about you? Thank you so much for having me, Miranda.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you here. So I want you to go ahead and start out by telling us a little bit about yourself. So share a little bit of your story and how you decided on this business path. What created the need to develop this particular business?
So from my accent, you can figure out I'm an immigrant. So immigrant over 25 years ago, originally from Pakistan. And I always, when I look at the construction and high-rise buildings, and it's fascinated about, hey, somebody owned that one. That's like a commercial high-rise. Hey, somebody owned one of those buildings. You can kind of live on your rent and then create a wealth, cash flow, and everything coming from that one real estate piece. So real estate has been in my passion for a long, long time. So I've been, I'm a commercial real estate investor. I invest here in the US. We are building a small private city in Tennessee, 4,000 acres.
Oh, wow. So a private city.
Yes. Safe city. No riots.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. So what kind of prompted you to kind of take your real estate investing on this on a sort of turn toward this private city?
Yeah, it was 1 year ago when I had my mentor, Recluse Billionaire. He is a $10 billion worth, owns over 160 miles of beachfront properties in the US and around the world. And he owns 48 businesses. I became his student. I want to learn how the billionaires think and how they act on those thoughts like billionaires do. So then eventually from student to I got graduated to become his partner to be on that one of his project. So
very cool. And so is this one of those projects that you're working on him with then, this private city in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. So did you begin real estate investing only after you moved to America, or did you start investing before you came?
I started this after moving to America 15 years ago. I started the real estate. I invest back home too, in my Pakistan too. And also I invested here and started from a single family home. Then I graduated to a commercial gas station, shopping centers, and then some construction here and also back home in Pakistan as well. And now we are in building a city thing. So it's like a 15 years journey this together. I learned thing or two what to do and not to do.
Oh yeah, very cool. So you started with a single family home and turned that one initial single family home investment into this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. So you said this is a 15-year journey, and as you have been working and moving through this journey, what are some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome? So what were some of the difficulties that were kind of put in your way as you were starting out on this journey and kind of growing your business?
So in any business, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I do have been owning a restaurant, shopping center, to even a car wash, and internet e-commerce companies sold millions of dollars online. So in every business, there are obstacles. You need to learn the trade of that business very well before you even invest. So invest on yourself. That has been, I always invest into myself before I get into that business. People ask me, how come you are in like a car wash and also own an e-commerce company? How that's not your skill. I say, yeah, let me share with you. I have a master's in computer science. Science, in case you don't know, they teach how to talk to computers, not to human, not to people. In real life, there are people exist. It's a people-to-people business always. Every business is not a B2B, not a B2C. It's a human-to-human, people-to-people. So you need to start understand people, communicate effectively and clearly with people, and understand the trade of that, whatever the industry you are in. So major obstacle, once I figure it out, that I need to learn that business first before I invest in, then it's no longer an obstacle anymore. Now, you can put me in any business. I cannot be a doctor. I cannot do a surgery because I'm not professionally qualified for that one. We're talking about entrepreneurial general businesses. I learned that first and then overcome and then get into that business. I have zero fear of getting into a new business because I invest on the education. And I always have a mentor with me on that business, always the case.
Yeah, so now you talk a little bit about a mentor and how important that is. So if you are having some of those obstacles to learning, then that mentor can kind of help you work through it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's how I invest with the mentorship first on that line of business before I get into that business, you know.
Okay. And then that can kind of also help you avoid, I mean, we talk about learning the hard way, right? By making mistake after mistake. But when you've got that mentor with you, then you can kind of overcome that and you don't have to learn the hard way. So I think one of the obstacles people would have then is finding a mentor. So how did you go about finding these mentors to help you in these various aspects of your businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wish everybody know this answer to this question. I figured it out a very hard way after so many years. The great way to find the best mentors for you is find out who is helping a person like you already, who they have helped already. The person like you, they may have 10,000 students. If they have not helped in your industry, the person with a similar background like you, because you want to know if they have the experience of navigating a person with similar background like you, where you are right now in your life, to the level, to the goal, to help you to achieve it. So if you don't have, keep searching, interview your mentors and ask them this blunt questions. Who else you have helped, a person like me? Tell them for first everything honestly and authentically about you. Don't make up anything. Just say it. Like a doctor, you won't lie to a doctor because they will give you wrong prescription. So with the mentorship, do the same way. Tell them everything honestly and then ask them the follow-up question.
So how did you then find, now you talked about working with this mentor on this. I'm sorry. I'm just really, really super interested in this like private city situation. I love that. But But how did you find that specific mentor? Now, you mentioned being a student of his. How did you go about finding that then so that you could become his student? How did you find him? Did you do like an online search? Did you have a referral from your network? How did you find out about him and how did you connect?
Yeah, that's a multi-step process, especially, you know, somebody with $10 billion worth, they are not available on the website to, hey,
exactly,
connect me with on LinkedIn or connect me on Instagram or follow me here. And they are not available there. They are like a recluse billionaire. That means they are very private people. So I, as you know, that I'm the host of Growth Hacking Secrets. I interview people like many, many successful people. I have interviewed over 2,000 people. And every time I interview, and most of the time, when I know I like the guest, I ask them who else I need to know. They will make an introduction. So out of one of the guests, her name is Jennifer, and she introduced me to another person, John Lee, who is a partner with the Recluse Billionaire already. So it's like introduction of introduction to introduction. Then I watch them for months and months to see how that kind of, you know, before I sign up, you know.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think a lot of the time we forget that a big part of growing your business, whether you're investing, whether you're doing online things, whether you're doing real estate, are those connections that you make and that networking that you do. And, you know, listening to your podcast is a great way to, and running a podcast is a great way to go ahead and break through and get those introductions and build that network.
Network is your net worth. No, that's what that is.
I like that. Your network is your net worth. That's very cool. So when you, as you were growing your business, you started out with this single family home and investing in the single family home, and then eventually grew it to commercial real estate, shopping malls, car washes, all of these things, apartment buildings. So as you were starting to grow, what were some of the things that you did to make a difference as you scaled up, right? So what kind of systems or hiring practices did you use? What kind of lead generation did you use? Because these are systems that you can put into place to help you scale up. So what things did you do to help you scale up more effectively as you were growing your business?
So hey, I have not done the traditional way. I have done the untraditional way. Mostly my partner, Ram Sarani, he was in that business for 30 years in real estate. So I believe in partnerships, because building your network, when you identify the right people who you need to be partnered with. So I partner with him. He focused on operation of the business, and he is very well known here in Atlanta area. So he knew the lead generation was easy, because once your market knows you, your leads come your way. You don't have to even find leads. It's a blessing to be in that circle. So I partner with him. However, my skill was to more dealing with the financial, the banks and negotiating the mortgage. You know, it cost a lot to have millions of dollars of mortgage. One little tweak in one point in a mortgage can save you. I can share with you a story with the bank. We were, dealing with $3.4 million mortgage. In one 40-minute phone call, we saved $720,000 interest payments, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a pretty good 40 minutes.
Yeah. So what that is, that's a skill again. So I was kind of more, my partner say, you're good in dealing with the banks. I say, okay, cool. Let me deal that part. You take care of the operation. So it's like a mutual win, you know. So we had a great ride for 6 years together. You know, we're still a friend. So even after partnership we are not business partner anymore. However, we're still a friend. That means we end up on a good note. You know, that's very, very important, you know.
Yeah. Now, I like this idea of partnering because, you know, when you're trying to build this business, right, there are so many hats you have to wear, but you're not good at everything. And I like that you seem to have found a partner that complements you. So you maybe had some weaknesses, and rather than trying to fix your weaknesses, you found a partner who had strengths in those areas so that you could focus and leverage your own strengths. And is that kind of how you approach most of your partnerships?
Yeah, I use this line all the time. I like to outsource my weakness.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're referring to. And because operating a business, car wash or a restaurant, is not my forte. So I like to outsource to someone and who will, you know, deal with managers and everything. And so anything which I don't know, instead of trying to improve on that one, then I ignore my strengths. And now I'm like everything, I'm trying to do everything. That's not my style at all. I like to work with my own cadre of team of people and who are good in certain things, and they all complement each other. And plus they work in a very good team. That's how my business model has been. And that's, in fact, happened to be my Recluse Billionaire partner. He believes in the same thing. In fact, he is a founder of 13 Standards of Knowledge. And 13th standard is your cadre, your team, basically.
Okay, very nice. Yeah. So how do you, what kind of process then do you use to kind of vet your partners? What what do you do? Because, you know, that seems to be your main system here. It's finding the right partners for the right project or the right investment or the right business proposition. So how do you decide what kinds of things do you look for in a partner, and how do you decide that somebody is a trustworthy partner?
Miranda, let me give you a 10 out of 10 on this great question. I'm just letting you know.
That's kind.
Okay. So Miranda, this is very simple, simple than you think. Let's say you are potentially my partner. We are going to do a role play. I'm going to say, Miranda, you know, maybe you outreach to me or I outreach to you. That doesn't really matter. So Miranda, okay, we are looking for working potentially together. So I would like you to do one thing. Here's the process. I want you to, from your past, wherever you have worked in the partnership, I want you to, can you make give me 3 references? They say, sure, no problem. You know, that's very typical answer. Sure, can you go ahead and arrange my meeting with them? I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to call them myself, no. It's not about ego, or it's not about me picking up the phone or calling them, no way. Here's a little secret. Because most of the people, they leave the previous jobs, previous partnerships on bad terms. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's no way you are going to call them, hey, Sadiq is going to talk to you, because you're not in talking terms most of the time.
Yeah, okay.
So if you can't arrange a meeting out of your 5 partners, 3 with me, guess what? You already burned the bridges. I will be your next victim. I don't want to be your partner.
Fair.
Yeah. So that's my number one thing. 90% people will walk away from that. I don't have to do any work because they can't even arrange 3 meetings with me.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's... I will give them 1 week to arrange. It's not like me take months. No, 1 week. And then when I call them, I don't ask them anything about the person. I say, Miranda, if I ask that your previous partner about this, what would he say to me? He or she will say to me. I want to know, hey, you know, how was your, you know, getting along or anything. One question, I will come up with something.
Oh, wow.
So I want to know the answer, not from you, from them. If I ask you, people ask when they interview somebody, hey, what are your strengths and weaknesses? I will ask, hey, if I ask your Mr. Joe, what are your strengths? What he's going to answer?
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask his weakness the other way. Both sides cross match the answers on the other side.
Very interesting. Yeah. So it's just kind of a way of saying, okay, it helps you figure out whether the person you're working with actually pays attention to their partners and has done their own due diligence, and whether they have good relationships.
Absolutely. Good relationships, and how much they have a deep understanding with each other. I say, I don't know what they're going to tell me. That means you were never close to each other. If you were close, you work together. I don't want that partner, you know?
right. Yeah, that makes sense. So now, as you find your partners and everything, do you ever get help or advice or include family and friends in your business? Is that something that you do, or is that something that you try and stay away from? So what kind of influence do your family and friends have on the way you run your business?
You know, I'm so fortunate and lucky enough to have my family worked with me. My wife worked with me for 12 years. We are still together. I just want to let you know. Okay, babe.
It didn't ruin the relationship. Okay, well done.
Today is my 24th anniversary, you know, so that will tell you. So it's a very special day today.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So my wife worked with me, and my sister worked with me. My brother, younger brother, worked with me too. My brother-in-law worked with me, and my sister's husband worked with me as well. At the same time, So my wife's, brother, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, that's also brother-in-law, they all both work together. So worked on different projects altogether, but not on the same project, just to keep in mind. So keep them in a separate bucket.
Right.
I worked with all of them. Some are working with me right now and some are not. However, we still have a good relationship. Why I'm saying all this? I do not mix the personal and a business relationship, even with the same person. I tell them, hey, we are end up working on starting this project together. My goal is, even though when this project is over, that means you fired me or I fired you, we're still a friend.
Nice.
If we cannot maintain that one, I don't want to start this relationship, new one.
Yeah. And so then you kind of set those parameters, like especially with, I would imagine with friends and family, you have to set those parameters early and keep revisiting them often. Is that something that's that you have to do?
And sometimes a reminder too. Hey, we talked about this.
So yeah. And how do you, I mean, how do you manage to do that then? What are some of the things that you can do? You talked about, you know, talking about keeping that, the personal relationship separate from that, the business relationship. So what are some things that you do to kind of erect those barriers and make sure those relationships do in fact stay separate?
Clear communication and set the expectation. When it's not met, clearly communicate. When it's over met, clearly communicate.
Okay, that makes
sense. And when they need help in achieving, they are stuck in something, don't be a boss or like a, you know, junior partner, a senior partner. Just be open. I'm a very open in relationships. Just tell them how do you feel, and instead of saying you didn't achieve this one, you know, my bottom line this and much is impacted. I don't ask. Something else is going on in their life. That's why they're not focusing on that thing. I say, I hope you're okay. Everything is okay. Then you ask that question. Then they say, oh, then they open up a little bit. Then you try to see how you can help them. So it really helps a lot. So not only results. Sometimes when things are not working, because they're human, we are dealing with the people on the other side. So whenever there's some like a suboptimal results, instead of, hey, you fix it, otherwise you will be fired or something like this. Now I say, I hope you are okay, because that's not unlike you, you know?
Yeah.
That gives me the opportunity to be authentic with you at the same time. You
know? Yeah. And I think too, when you show that you're interested in them and care about them, then they're probably more willing to work a little bit harder and be a little bit more loyal as you kind of move forward, because those relationships are so valuable as part of the business ecosystem.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So what is some of the, I mean, I assume as you've gone along the way, you've had folks who give you advice, maybe solicited or unsolicited, but what is one of the worst pieces of advice that you have received as you've been growing your business it could be from anybody, but what is one piece of advice that you received that was terrible?
Any advice which is just an opinion, it's terrible advice.
Okay.
And I don't like to give an opinion, and I don't like to receive an opinion from someone. Opinion is like a nose, and everybody got one, you know? So anything was say, hey, you should do this. Whenever they say you should do this, that means it's most likely that it smells like opinion, you know? And I always value, like they say, okay, Miranda, this is a great, thank you so much for thinking of me. Have you tried this one? Mm. What was the results? Is there any obstacle in achieving that results? Because the opinion, they cannot even answer those questions.
Yeah, so you like prefer when you're getting advice or talking to somebody, you would like them to be able to back it up with like something concrete.
Yeah, just like going to a doctor, you go for a surgery, say, you know, right. If they never done, you are the first victim for them. They never even studied that, what they're giving you the advice.
Yeah.
That will be very terrible. This is almost the same analogy, however, in a business world.
Okay, very cool. So what is a good piece of advice then? Now we've talked about a good piece of advice is something that they can actually talk to you about it and show something for it. But what if something that if you were telling somebody to get started in real estate investing, what is something that you would recommend that they do?
I would recommend, highly recommend. In fact, I cannot force enough to recommend, before you actually invest into a project of single family, multifamily, apartment, you name it, land, anything in the real estate or even in a business, find a mentor who has already done that. Not only has done that, I'm almost repeating myself, the person like you has taken from where you are right now and where you want to go, and they can see your goals and they can see the navigation path to achieve that goal. Not only in you, they have already helped somebody just like you earlier to achieve it. Get that mentorship, and then be authentic with them and focus, then ignore every other noise, 100% committed and never quit, you will achieve it.
Okay, very nice. So you would recommend just finding that mentor before putting any money into real estate or starting a project. And then what is one more piece of advice, one more thing that you learned as you were going through this? We know the importance of mentorship, but what is one other thing that you have learned on this 15-year journey you've been on to become a successful real estate investor?
Yeah. So in general, in every business, including a real estate investment, people see knowledge is power. We all have a knowledge. And I happen to not believe into the knowledge is power. It's a very contradictory. It's not true because we all know so much. Reality is we do not execute.
Okay, interesting.
So applied knowledge is power. Knowledge is not power. If knowledge is power, librarian would be the richest person.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah, so the 15 years, one word if you ask me, I will sum up in execution. I'm not talking about myself. Even my mentor and a business partner, Recluse Billionaire, he speaks about me that I execute with the speed of light. I take my time to understand everything, plan everything together. Then once I have zero plan to learn anything new if I have no plan to execute it.
Okay, very cool.
I believe in execution, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, if you're ready to learn about real estate, get that mentor, and make sure you have a plan in place to execute, and then that way you'll be able to go ahead and get started on that business.
Yeah, even on this podcast, many people will be listening to all this. Yeah, it looks good. However, very few of them will actually plan to take a next step to actually do the deal. Why? Because they want to learn, perfect the system, learn. It's okay to take a time to learn. However, at the end, have a plan to execute it. When you feel you're ready, do it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect, right?
No. And here's what I say. Version one is better than version none.
Nice. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sadiq. And can you tell our listeners where they might be able to find you?
My ID on social media, on every LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, Meet Sadiq, including on a Clubhouse.
Oh,
Meet
very nice.
Sadiq. And my book is New Success Secrets, available on Amazon, Muhammad Sadiq. You just find Google. Google tells me pages and pages about me. I have interviewed over 2,000 people. If you not see one of my interviews, there's something wrong with Google. You know.
Great. Yes. And that's the Growth Hacker Podcast.
Growth Hacking Secrets, that is your name.
Okay, Growth Hacking Secrets. So yeah. That's the Growth Hacking Secrets. So go listen to the Growth Hacking Secrets show to get more information about these interviews with amazingly successful people.
Yeah, wonderful. And if you want to outreach to me directly, meetsadiq.com.
Meetsadiq.com. And that is SIDDIQE.
Q-U-E.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to back it up here. And that is SIDDIQUE.
Yeah, meetsadiq.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sadiq. It was a pleasure to speak with you and learn a little bit more about how you grow your real estate business and your systems. So thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Go and do this.
Yes, go out there and do this. And we'll have another interview next week. So be sure to join us for the Hometown Heroes show next week.
This is Mitch Stephen, and I would like to thank all the listeners for tuning into the Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please go to 1000houses.com/podcast2/apply. We invite our listeners to share our Hometown Real Estate Heroes podcast. And also, we'd appreciate it if you'd rate and or review our show wherever you listen to your podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. It is our mission to spotlight local real estate entrepreneurs that are killing it in their market and to highlight their strategies and their personal story. It is our intention to help real estate investors learn and grow. Please be sure to subscribe because we are sure that you will find very valuable nuggets in our content-driven episodes. This podcast is my way of giving back, and I would like to personally thank all of the hometown real estate heroes that have participated or that intend to participate. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and hope that you tune in and share this with your friends and family often. Thank you very much. We're out of here.